move into this weekend's UFC 316 preview. This is a chance for redemption. This is a rivalry between two bitter foes. There is a couple of grudge matches that are title fights on this card. There's some rising stars. They're all going to be getting after in Newark at the Prudential Center over in New Jersey this weekend. You can check out that main card, obviously on pay-per-view, but the others will be available, prelims as well as early prelims, on ESPN Plus and Disney Plus, so check those out. Main event matchup, Merab Dvalishvili taking on Sugar Sean O'Malley. This is a rematch from that original title fight that happened last fall at Sphere, or Inside Sphere, that Noche card. Merab dominated that first fight. Whether Sugar wants to say that it was because of the torn hip labrum or whatever, I don't know how much differently that first fight would have went. Yes, I will fully acknowledge that that was a legit injury that Sugar had to deal with and had to have surgery for. But just on a stylistic basis, I think that the only way, again, that Sean has a chance to beat Merab is to snipe him. He did find a little bit of a hole in the defense, if you will, or, you know, a chink in the armor with Merab when he hit him with the teep to the body in the fifth round. Merab didn't like that at all. He didn't like when that big toe got put right in his abdomen. So I think that that's going to be a shot that Sugar looks to find early on. I think that it would be wise for Sugar to show stuff up the middle, early and often. With Barab's takedown rate and his pace and the pressure that he presents, I believe that you have to show something up the center early and often. You have to make him honor the threat that something could be coming right up the chute at him. If you don't, then he's going to do what the machine does. And he's going to hold you up against the fence. And last time when he humiliated you by kissing you on the neck like it was a Diddy party, well, that's what's going to happen if you don't make him have to respect what you're bringing up the middle and have some sort of violence put in his face. Merab, on the flip side, Merab has bulletproof confidence. And I think especially after that first fight and the way that it went and the pace that he was able to put on Sugar, I think that Merab's confidence will be tenfold in this fight. One way or the other, it doesn't matter who it is, Merab fights like it is going to be his last time every single bout. And at the same time, he has an endless gas tank. The way that he can just continue to push for the full 25 minutes is unprecedented. That also makes him that more dangerous, I feel like, unless you absolutely put him out. Because yes, you can hurt him, but his gas tank is so good, his cardio is so strong, that he's able to recover that much more quickly and efficiently than many of his peers. If Sean does not find something that makes Merab have to honor the threat early, I would not be surprised if we see a very frustrated O'Malley on his back on the canvas and trying to find his way to get up against the fence, trying to wall walk and trying to scramble away in the process. Sugar has had to deal with a couple of surgeries since that last fight. Obviously the hip, and then he, a few months ago, was on tape with on crutches with a boot. So, you know, we'll see how that affects his overall condition coming into this fight. Obviously, he's an elite athlete. He's one of the top tier guys in the world at 135. But if I'm Merab, I'm taking him down immediately, or I'm at least presenting that threat, and I'm making him have to change levels and get up and down multiple times. There's always the talk from some of the wrestling purists and the ground and pound purists out there that you only need one takedown to finish a fight. But on Merab's side of things, Merab is cool letting you up, because he's confident that he can go and get the takedown again, and he wants to get you tired just by making you have to get up and down and up and down and up and down over and over and over. I think it's going to be a thrilling contest. But again, if O'Malley can't find something early, I imagine that there's going to be a certain level of frustration that starts to set in for him. In the co-main event, this is a matchup that I've been waiting to see basically since Kayla got signed. You have Juliana Pena taking on Kayla Harrison for the Women's Bantamweight Championship. This is a fight that was destined for Kayla Harrison as soon as she came over to the UFC, no matter who it was for gold. It doesn't matter whether it was Juliana or Rocky or whoever. She was on a short track to getting that title shot. Multiple time PFL champion, two-time Olympic judo gold medalist. Kayla Harrison has unfaltering, unwavering confidence. She is going to go in there and try to put an elbow right in Juliana's face. She's going to want to put her down against the canvas. But you also have to know that Juliana's a dog. Unless you put Juliana out, she's still going to be around in the fight. And if Kayla gets tired, that's going to be a problem. We saw Juliana be able to withstand the initial sprint of a beating in that first matchup with Amanda Nunes, and then able to basically, I don't even want to say rope-a-dope because she took an ass whooping, but she took so much of a beating and just didn't go out when Amanda fought her that Amanda got tired and she was able to turn the tables, reverse, and finish Amanda in the process. I don't know that that's going to be the case with Kayla. I am continually intrigued by how Kayla is going to make the weight and how she responds to these weight cuts. Kayla just holds so much muscle mass, and she is such a large framed woman that her making that 135 margin is, it's a science within itself. Juliana went to the New York Giants practice over the last couple of days. They put out the footage, and no surprise, Jameis Winston stole the show. But I did think that it was pretty cool to see that dynamic of her out there interacting with some of the football players, and some of them were just asking her some mindset questions. You know, how do you know when you have somebody, or how do you know when the fight is yours? And Juliana just gave her talk about, you know, when we stand there and when we face off, when we meet eyes, you know, when that first moment, when we lock in, just a lots of little iterations of that sort of talk. It was cool to see her out there trying to branch out, trying to grow the product, trying to promote herself. And yeah, I think that that's one thing that Juliana does do well is she sells the hell out of herself because she has a lot of haters. And Juliana is one of those types of fighters that she draws so much heat that people want to tune in, not just to watch her win for the bit of a fan base that she does have, but there's a lot of people who tune in to want to watch Juliana get smoked just by her antics and the way that she talks. She is the perfect heel in that situation for the women's division, and she moves the needle for them. You have to have somebody who's willing to be the bad guy or the bad girl in that sense to go out there and have a stir, have a commotion. As far as how this fight goes, though, I have to think that this favors Kayla Harrison personally. Some other main card highlights. You have a matchup in the middleweight division between Kelvin Gastelum taking on Joe Pyfer. This is a fight that, you know, both guys have had some situations in terms of actually making it all the way to fight day, leading up to fights on a very, very short notice. So hopefully by the time that Saturday runs through, both of these guys will actually be in the cage. Kelvin Gastelum's fall off is something that is going to be studied and talked about for years. Kelvin has the ability, or at least on paper, that still puts him amongst some of the elites of the division. However, we haven't seen that Kelvin, that title contender, or that title challenger, if you will, level Kelvin in a while. I mean, issues at the scale to injuries to fights where he just came out and flat out said I was unmotivated and laid an egg, a couple of bad performances in the process. And then he'll have one where he flashes and like, oh no, Kelvin might be back. Joe Pyfer is going to go in there and he's going to try to power punch his lights out. Joe Pyfer had the issue down in Mexico City with the stomach bug that impacted a lot of people that were involved with that show. I think that this week, Joe Pyfer, though, he has a little bit of redemption. This isn't exactly a home game for him, but Philly is not too far off from Newark, New Jersey. And that crew right now over there in Philadelphia, they're pretty hot as a bunch overall, whether it's him, Deshaun Brady, Pat Sabatini, Andre Petroski. All these guys are having tremendous levels of success right now, and they've got a great fan base and a great following out there out east. So I would imagine that there's going to be a lot of their crew that are going to be loud and proud for Joe Pyfer there. And, you know, again, styles make fights. Joe Pyfer does have has some solid grappling out there in his back pocket, but both of them want to go out there and knock you out. So if we get this fight, this could be a treat in the middleweight division. Following that, a highly anticipated debut in the bantamweight division for Patchy Mix. Patchy Mix, the former Bellator champion, is the short notice replacement for an injured Marlon Chito Vera, who was set to take on Mario Bautista. Mario Bautista has a chance to go out there and really propel himself forward. He caught a lot of hate after his last fight, a very lackluster performance. Pressed Jose Aldo up against the fence mat for the majority of 15 minutes type of matchup that notably or understandably drew a lot of criticism. I think that this is a fight, though, where he has a chance to go out there and put himself in a much higher discussion overall. Then you have Vicente Luque, who is going to be taking on Kevin Holland in the welterweight division. This is a welterweight showdown of two guys who have been in the fight game for a long time. Kevin Holland has gone back and forth between 170 and 185. Luque, throughout his run in the UFC, has fought a lot of the who's who of the 170 pounders. The thing is, though, is the Luque that we have now today in 2025 is not that Luque of 4 years ago. You know, unfortunately, he's had some significant injuries that have impacted him. He's still a very dangerous fighter, but is he that top tier guy that was on the outside looking in of being a contender? That guy who submitted Tyron Woodley just a few years back, that dude who was anacondaing and knocking people out left and right. That's not him anymore. Still a very crafty veteran. This is a chance, though, for Kevin Holland to go out there and have a very quality performance against a respected veteran. But Kevin Holland has to take this threat seriously. Kevin Holland is a guy who we've spoke about on this program who he's such a wild card. We don't know what Kevin Holland we're getting. Are we getting a Kevin Holland who took this fight seriously and decided to train? Or are we getting the Kevin Holland who just days out before he fought RDR, who was on the Jackson podcast with Rampage saying, I really don't care about this fight this weekend, and then goes out there and gets embarrassed in the first round? Which Kevin are we actually going to get? That's the big discussion here. Also want to throw a shout out on the prelims. Markel Medeiros, as mentioned, he's going to be on this card. He's taking on Mark Chunsky, who is going to be making his UFC debut, a regional champion out of Anthony Pettis Fighting Championship, former All-American wrestler out there. You know, this is a good matchup, though, for Markel. Unfortunately, like we say, had to be rebooked from last week into this one, but we're riding with you, Q.